Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, and we're continuing to move through this powerful encounter between Jesus and the Jewish people in his time, especially the Jewish leaders, as Jesus reveals to them who he is. Dr. Peter Kreef wrote a book a number of years ago called Jesus Shock. I've spoken about it on the program a few times over those years. And in the book, he makes this point of what we're seeing here in John's gospel, Jesus' own words about himself, that Jesus' words are so shocking. It makes you think about C.S. Lewis's, was it the Trilemma? He called it, that Jesus' words are so shocking that he's either, you know, a megalomaniac, or he's crazy, or he's actually who he says he was, that no one has ever made the claims that Jesus is making, other than somebody who is basically out of his mind. So I'm going to take up where we left off yesterday, but before I do, friends, if you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. Programs are there. You can listen to them on your computer, download them on whatever device works for you. Best way to connect with us and all that we're doing, Renewal Ministries, the YouTube videos that we've been doing, other radio programs, Sister Anne, Food for the Journey, our television program, Choices We Face, and many different things we're providing on the website free for you. You can just get the Renewal Ministries app, and you can have access to those things anytime you want, listen to the programs anytime you'd like. That's the most convenient way to do it. So I'm going to pick up where I left off yesterday. So Jesus says very clearly, he's in this dramatic encounter with the Pharisees, and he said, I do not accept human praise. Moreover, I know that you do not have the love of God in you. Now, he kind of turns his guns on them. He already told them that John the Baptist testified to who Jesus is. God the Father testified to who Jesus is through signs and wonders, and even through the voice of God. The Father testified to him on the day Jesus was baptized. And that the scriptures that the Pharisees, the religious leaders, are experts of also testifies to Jesus, and they miss all of those testimonies. And Jesus begins to tell them why. And he says, it's a problem of the will. You don't want to come to me to have life. You want to find life on your own. Then he goes on, I do not accept human praise. Moreover, I know that you do not have the love of God in you. Now, those two sentences go together, actually, on a variety of levels. Because if he was looking for human praise, he wouldn't have said what he just said. Because what he said was a punch to the heart in a good way. An unveiling, that's a better way to put it. I know that you do not have the love of God in you. Wow. That is the sin-sick condition of the human heart, friends. This is why Jesus, the prophet, said we need a new heart. The Spirit of God is God's love poured into us. That's the new heart within. These are strong words. Jesus is so blunt. I came in the name of my Father, but you don't accept me. Yet, if another comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe when you accept the praise from one another and you do not seek the praise that comes from the only God? These are peculiar responses or things that Jesus is saying here that, I mean, I think the most common response of people is from an expectation that's different than Jesus' expectation of how people should respond to him. They'd say, well, yeah, of course, on the one hand, people we know come and testify, and trustworthy people come, and so, yeah, I accept what they're saying. I believe them. But Jesus says, the Father testifies to me, and you don't believe me. And in some way, you could say, have a certain sympathy for the Pharisees and the leaders. Okay, well, no one ever spoke like Jesus spoke. It's not immediately obvious, but you know what? Jesus still is holding them accountable. And Jesus is expecting that they should be. He's saying they should be in the position, if their hearts were right, to receive what Jesus is saying about himself. Let me read again. He said, how can you believe when you accept the praise of another? So in other words, when you're looking for the favor of men and you're looking to please men and to want to be praised by other people, you're never going to be in the position of being able to receive and to believe, to have real faith, saving faith, because you're looking to please someone else rather than to please God. You're looking to hear the praise of men rather than the words of God. Again, another clear revelation of the motives of the human heart. I think now the words from the letter to the Hebrews that say, you know, God's word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts right to the heart, separates bone and marrow, and it manifests the intentions of the heart. Jesus is always, he's shooting arrow shots for the heart. Jesus wants to surgically dig down. He wants us to know how deeply the human heart resists God. Reminds me as well of Father Francis Martin, who's gone home to the Lord, was a great, great biblical scholar, world class, but a very holy man. And he used to say that in the human heart is a secret rancor, an anger, and a rage toward God, toward the rule of God, to the order and plans of God, a resistance to the creatureliness, the creaturely reality of what it means to be human, to be radically dependent on God. It's in all of us, friends. Now, in some of you are listening, by the grace of God, like Paul says, this is the work, this is the flesh. And he said, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, that is the flesh, you will live. And so some of you who've been listening, maybe you've been following Jesus for a very long time, and the Spirit of God has deeply, deeply led you into more and more love and surrender and purification of your heart to God. And you're living from a different core, you know, that grace of the Spirit, and yielded to the Spirit. There's no other way, friends, there's no other way to have a heart that is rightly ordered to God and receives God than to have the heart of Jesus given to us in the Spirit and through the Holy Spirit. So Lent is a time for us to, in part, remember just how radical a transformation is needed in our lives. We're not here just kind of trying to straighten out a few things. Lent isn't just about, yeah, I need to acquire a few more good habits and get rid of some of the bad habits. I mean, that's good, but that's not the deepest core. The Christian life and the journey to Calvary and the journey in walking in the footsteps of Jesus isn't just a matter of sin management or moral striving. It's the recognition of the radical condition of the human heart and the total inability of human beings to do anything about it apart from the mercy of God and the help of God. And the fact that what we need is we need to become a whole new creation. And my moral effort can't make me a new creation. I need God's life in my soul, in my heart, in my being, the core of me. I need total transformation, and only God can do that, and only God can give it. Human effort's not enough. We need something no human being can summon, can make, can create, can bring about. We're God's creation. We're God's children. We're fallen. We're sick. And the Father has sent his Son, the divine physician, to bring us to new, to everlasting life. Here's a good meditation. Like, how much am I motivated by human praise Jesus loves, but he's not impressed. You know, he loves man. He knows what's, but he knows what's in the human heart. He's not dazzled by power, human influence, and to be recognized by others. He knows what it's worth. It's not worth much. We don't know that yet. I mean, that's another thing that Lent can help us let go of, is the desire to be recognized and praised by others, to be esteemed by others. It's pretty easy to let the esteem of men and the praise of men overshadow a heartfelt desire to live under the gaze of God and to live for an audience of one and the praise of God. He's saying if we're living for the praise of men, we won't be able to believe. Because to say yes to Jesus, especially for a Pharisee, and to accept him, who is this guy, this wandering, self-appointed prophet who apparently does these signs and saying these outrageous things? I'm not going to leave my place of public prestige and responsibility and recognition to follow this guy. I'm not bending my knee to this guy. That's not going to happen. I'm not going to experience the shame and the humiliation that's going to come with it. I'm not going to humble myself. Friends, the way is narrow. The narrow way is humility. It's humiliation in the healthy sense of that term. It's to bow down. It's to say, I'm not God. It's to say, you're right, Lord Jesus. You're right about God the Father. You're right about who you are. And you are right about me and the condition of my life and the mess that I've made it and the need of salvation and that you alone can save me. I need to be forgiven. I need to be saved. Save me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. And if we're living for the praise of men and our hearts set on being a somebody, the Lord resists the proud, but he lifts up the humble. The reading goes on, do not think that I accuse you before the Father. The one who will accuse you is Moses. They keep claiming Moses is their reason for not receiving him, in whom you have placed your hope. For if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, because he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Now even Moses, as John testified, God the Father testified, the signs and wonders testified, the scripture testifies, Moses, who they cling to, testifies about Jesus, and they're blind to it. Oh, Lord, have mercy on us. May we receive in this season, Lord, fully and completely the testimony of who you are. Everything was made for you, everything made by you, everything made through you. Everything belongs to you. You're the Lord of all. And the total surrender of our lives, absolute abandonment and trust of our lives to you, to belong to you, is right and just and true. Lord, help us. God bless you, friends. Have a great weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.